This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. How is God using your life to further His kingdom? When we open ourselves to His leading, God's power can shine through our lives in many ways. So stay with us as we examine how God has worked in the lives of three individuals and how He can work in your life in a powerful way.
Are you permitting God to use you as He would like? We're going to talk about that in the sermon. We open our program in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, there is a powerful lot of work for your church to do on this earth. But we are the voice that proclaims Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and we know that this is a voice that needs to be heard. So, Father, give us faithful people to proclaim that word and to see that it is proclaimed. We ask your blessings to rest upon the church as you have established it here, for that one real purpose, with other little purposes, one real purpose to tell the story of Christ. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is no light for any
Friends in Christ, recently I heard a lay preacher deliver a sermon in our church that really grabbed my heart. When the service was over, I went and thanked him for the message and what it had meant to me. And then he looked at me and he said, "You know, 30 years ago, you hired me to assist in the youth work here in this congregation. I worked there for a while, still I'm there some now. I've never been to seminary. I've never been ordained. But as you well know, I went to another congregation, and there I have become the executive pastor, and hope that as I have worked through the university here and the college and all of these other places, that I have been a blessing to the community, because that's what God wanted, and that's what He's empowered me to do, and that's what I can do if I'll only remain close to Him." Then he turned and he said, "We ought to tell the people how God has changed us. I need to tell the people how God has enlightened me, and the message that I bring to them is not for me, it's from God, and He's just using me, but He is using me. He has empowered me. He has given me the opportunity to see some great changes in the kingdom." Was he bragging? No, he wasn't, my friend. This person was willing to sing, "I am the clay, you are the potter." He wanted all credit, everything to go to God. But he knew he was in on this situation where he could be used by God to do some mighty, mighty acts for the Savior. I sat and listened to that sermon once again, and finally I turned to the Bible. And you don't have to go any further than to this great man of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Paul was a terrible man. He had done everything he could to get the Christian faith blotted out of existence. So he heard that there were some Christians up at Damascus. And he went up there and then was on his way back with the Christians, and there they would be persecuted in Jerusalem. But on the way up, God converted him. He threw him to the ground. The other people didn't know what was going on. Then out of the heavens, Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul answered back, "Who is it, Lord?" And then Jesus addressed him and he said, "Go in to Damascus, and there you go to the home of Ananias, and he will tell you what my will is for your life." In other words, you're going to be a different person, Paul. You're not going to operate completely under the power of your dynamic personality, but I am the one who will empower you. I am the one who will strengthen you. I will give you the one to go on your way in my name. And then Paul said, having heard this, "I went immediately into Damascus, and there I stayed for 4 years. It was in Arabia that he visited with other Christians. And after a goodly amount of time where God could really work with this person, Paul came back, and this time he did go down to Jerusalem. And there he was gathered together with the Christians. He met Peter and some other leaders in the church. And they had this whole agreement. Paul was to go to the Gentile. Peter was to go to the Jew. But each were to tell the story and look at what they did." In other words, Paul could say, "Look, I preached here, I preached there. There were so many people converted." That was not bragging. For Paul knew full well that he would have accomplished nothing like that had it not been for the Lord who was working through him and making him the witness that he really was. Well, that's a biblical character. Now we go to the early church, or the Middle Ages, the 16th century, and you run into that person that we know well from other writings by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was an unhappy man. He was living through life on his own power, and that wasn't good enough. He had a brilliant mind, God had given him that, and he was in the law school, but he wasn't satisfied there. So contrary to the wishes of his father, especially, but also his mother, Luther left the law school and went immediately to the Augustinian monastery. And there he tried to find how he could have peace with God. The church had taught that they were saved by grace, but also by keeping all the commands of the church. They were to keep the laws, and no one could ever be sure that he had done enough to have the assurance of his salvation. Well, the church didn't like that very well. But Luther stayed on there in the monastery, and it was while he was preparing his lectures on the book of Romans that he came to the 17th verse of the first chapter of Romans, where it says, "And the just shall live by faith." Suddenly, this work of God really begins to work. Here he is telling Paul, "Look, Paul, open up your eyes. You are saved by grace and grace alone, through trusting Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sins at the cross of Calvary and is yours forever." And then Luther said, "I knew that I was changed." But the church decided that they were going to get this message that I was proclaiming quieted. So they decided that they would have a council, and Luther should be brought before the Diet at Worms. When he got there, they had a man by the name of Eck. And he replied, "Martin, I ask you, do you or do you not repudiate your books and the errors they contained?" Now, Luther had not only come himself, but he brought all the books that he had written. And there they must have been heaped on a table. And they're asking, "Do you repudiate any errors that are in there?" And they gave him one day to go over them and see if he did have any errors. Then he came out before the Diet of Worms the next day. And Luther was given the same question: "Do you repudiate your books and the errors they contain?" And Luther replied this way, and you have heard it often: "Unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captured by the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go contrary to conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise." Now, these are the words of Martin Luther, are they? Well, he spoke those words. But here again you find that God fills our hearts with strength, courage, power, and we go on and act in his behalf. And so Luther was condemned, cast out of the church, and was to be hunted and killed if necessary. But Luther kept right on working, proclaiming the truth, and from that man, we have the Protestant Reformation, where once again, the gospel of Christ is heard, salvation alone. I personally believe that it is necessary for us to have a Reformation real often. For whether it's in the 16th century or the 20th century, man can try to operate on his own power, not the power that God gives to him, but his own power, and the result is that we have all kinds of errors. We get away from the very clear gospel. Repetitively here once more, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now I would like to ask you a very, very important question, probably the most important of this sermon. May I ask, have you experienced God putting power into your life, your heart, your mind, to be a true spokesman for Him? He is simply using you as a man or a woman. Your body, your voice, whatever it might be. But it is God who can use us because He is doing the speaking and not we. If you are one who is in Christ, you have experienced what it is that Christ has done first in your life. Are you free to tell the story to anybody who wants to listen of how you were baptized as a child and you grew up in the faith and Christ never left you? But as you grew up and went through those teenage years and it was difficult because the world would pull you away from Him and cause you to deny the faith in which you had lived for so many years, that God got a hold of you and said, no, no, you can't do that. And if you listen to that voice, that's your story. That's the power of God working through you and me. And we can honestly say, because of the power of God in His directing force in my life, I can never think of a time when I didn't claim Christ as my Savior and my Redeemer. Oh, there were times in my life when I was out with the boys or the girls, and they were denouncing some of these gospel truths, that I was tempted and probably suddenly got a quietness about me because I didn't have the power to stand up and say, oh, you're very wrong. But then you can remember that life changed for you, maybe a day or two later, and you were free to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Can you remember God helping you to raise those children? Can you remember that night, or it's been there, if you wanted to cash in on it, if you're a supposed Christian, where Jesus says, now let me help you raise these children. Yes, the world is saying how many of them are going astray, how there are terrible crimes that are being voiced over television in our day. But Jesus says, look, I give you the good news. You don't have the power to raise those children as God wants them raised. But God will empower you. See, repetitive again. First, with the man who preached a sermon in the church one Sunday not long ago. Secondly, with Paul. Thirdly, with Luther. Now it's down to me. A name that is not known, your name that perhaps is not known, except among a small group of people. But we have experienced what God can do to change us. And here we get that son and daughter aside. And we lay our whole faith before them. And if you haven't done it before, then say to them, "Oh, Bob or Betty, forgive me for being so tardy in coming to you with the message of Jesus. But I not only want you to hear it from the pastors, I want you to hear it from dear old Dad. I want you to hear it from your mother. God has empowered us. And when we're dead and you take us to the cemetery, then you will be able to say to your friends, 'The greatest theologian I have ever had is my father or my mother. They are the ones who were my evangelist.'" That's the kind of a parent you and I can be, friend. For God will empower us, direct us to serve him in the quietness of our home. Yes, it is true. He can use us. He used that young man that morning in our church, and he grabbed me. And he can use you and me in the same way of people who are waiting to hear. Amen.
Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Have thine own way, Lord.
living.
God in heaven, we thank you that you speak to us directly through your word, that it is a word that we live in, that gives us the great power and the strength to move on with those who are closest to us and those with whom we have favor to the point that we can tell them about Jesus. God, we thank you for the church, and we thank you for the happy times that we can experience when we are your church in a true sense of the word. Forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us with our silence. Oh God, we know it's the same old message, but it's a message that needs to be heard again and again, for the church is often failing. They are operating on human strength in all too many cases. Draw us, Savior, back to the foot of the cross as depicted in our Bibles, and use us to say, this is what the Lord Jesus has said and done for me, and now he has empowered me to be his voice in your life. Make us that kind of witness, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will encourage you to allow God to use your life as he would choose in order to accomplish some mighty things. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to support this ministry with a memorial gift. A memorial gift is given to remember a loved one or friend. Please address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We're thankful to all those who support this ministry with their prayers and finances. Be sure to check our website, ChristianCrusaders.org. where you can find both an audio and printed copy of today's program. We also offer copies of our broadcast from previous weeks and many other spiritual helps. Our web address again is ChristianCrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. We are happy you were able to worship with us today and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.